Well, it's so great to get that win over Auburn and keep the dream alive. I started making myself a few years ago just to prevent the nerves from totally racking thing. I said, I'm going to enjoy each win through Monday Night Football. And you've been so great, especially after wins. Hey, listen, we're gonna review Saturday's game on Monday. It's the first time we're back together, and then we'll turn the page. You know, that fourth quarter was beyond nervy. I texted Brame in the middle of the fourth quarter, just terrifying. And
it was.
And we pulled it out. You know, and again, it was one of those things where, you know, now if you'd asked me before the game, hey, would you take a 21-14 lead in the fourth quarter with them with the ball? Absolutely. Well, wait a minute. You didn't tell me it was going to be 21-0 and then 21-14, but it is just, you know, it's a prime example, too. I mean, how fickle momentum is. And, you know, we didn't get that interception in the end zone, and then it looks like we stop on fourth down. They call the PI. Then they get a touchdown. The crowd got jacked, and, man, it turned. But Georgia found a way. I mean, it was classic, kind of shades of 1982. Hunker down, you guys. And the defense did hunker with a freshman named Walker making a play for the ages.
That game, the result of the game, I saw your 1-point win and raised it one. I had us winning 21-19.
There you go. Were they going to go for two at 21-13?
Yeah. Well, they were up 14-13, scored to go for two, and ended up 19-14. Or we were up 14-13.
Right,
Yeah. So the result was Georgia won, which I thought, but the game went the opposite of how I thought, because I thought we were going to be the team in the fourth quarter that was, like, kind of mounting the charge, because actually Auburn's offense in the fourth quarter is the one that had gone into hibernation for much of the season. But yeah, then the game played out just the opposite of that, which was we were the ones hanging on for dear life. And I did text you Bo pick six was coming up, and as soon as I hit sent, I remembered 2013 and 2005, and I went, all right, that was premature, because I should know better than with the Georgia-Auburn history that that this thing is not over until Trayvon Walker says it is.
And then even still, I'm like, all right, Jake's still got to take three knees here. Let's just
– yeah, we don't need the miracle at the Meadowlands happening.
No, we don't, but it was such a great win, and I'm just so proud of what this team has done to play themselves back into contention for you-know-what, to win the SEC East for a third straight time. And now we've got another monster showdown coming up with Texas A&M. And like we said, I know that the defense saved the day. Kamara had the best game of his career. I mean, he was, in my opinion, Georgia's MVP on Saturday with his 11 punts. He netted an average net of 46. I mean, that is remarkable. I mean, we were saying yesterday, if this was golf, you would say, all right, he – nine drives found the fairway with an average of 310. The two that didn't were just sitting up in the first cut of rough. I mean, he was remarkable, just banging it out there. And, you know, the crazy thing, too, and again, Auburn's got a great defense. I mean, we all know how good the front is, and the guys behind him can all run. We hit a big play. We had two incredible 88-yard touchdown drives. I mean, it was humming, especially the third one. I love the mix we had, the different things we were doing. And then we had 9-3 and outs. It was like there was no – it was either – we looked either perfect on offense or we were just getting stoned by them. It was crazy.
It was two good drives, one big play, and then the rest of the day was excruciating to watch. And Auburn does. They've got an excellent defense. That's the best defense we played this year.
And they had the open date to get ready, too. I mean, they were –
well, yeah, which isn't helping Gus out with his fans, because Auburn fans are looking at that like, you had the open date, and this is the offense you came up with?
So here we go. So Gus, again, you know, they're sitting there. Remember 2 years ago he was on the hot seat. Then all of a sudden we're number one. They beat us. Bama's number one. They beat them. And, you know, they're hoping for a replay of that. You know, who knows? Maybe they get in the playoff. But now all of a sudden and I get it with what Alabama's done with the decade they've had. And as we've said, the roller coaster ride that is Auburn football, going back to the firing of Tommy Tuberville, what, a year removed from beating Alabama six times in a row, to Cam, to 0-12, to the next year playing for it, to just is he going to get fired? To then, you know, here they have 2017, and, you know, now you got Arkansas open. I mean, it's my bet is he's still going to be at Auburn. I mean, he's especially considering what's happened at Alabama and what's happening at Georgia now. I mean, I think for the most part he's done a good job there, but I've never seen a guy that could go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows in the eyes of his fan base like Malzahn.
Well, that if they lose to Bama, that 4-15 record against their three big rivals might be something that gets brought up a good bit during the offseason that will put him right back in the position next year where it's like, who's the coach on the hottest seat in the SEC? Well, it's going to be Malzahn. Anything next year, though, then is the year when they have to
go on the road.
Road twice.
They will get LSU at home.
Yeah, but right before Bama.
Good point.
In fact, that's my favorite thing about the 2020 SEC schedule is every team in the SEC West plays LSU and Alabama back-to-back next year. Why don't you just tell us what two teams you want to be good? So yes. So not only will Auburn have to come to Athens, which will be earlier in the year.
It's going to be weird.
And then go to Tuscaloosa. They do host LSU next year, but the week before they play Bama.
I got to tell you, that just – it really didn't hit me till after the game. But that game being played in October is going to be incredibly strange.
It is, when it's still probably like 85, 90 degrees.
Yeah, and the –
you know, the Braves will be in the playoffs.
Because another thing, too, I think,
maybe.
And usually the game's at 3:30, but as we all know with Auburn being on the very eastern end of the central time zone, I mean, it gets dark early there. I mean, you know, it starts getting dark here at 5:45. That means it's getting dark there at 4:45.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's you're always finishing that game under the lights.
Not anymore.
No, God, it's just such a...
Unless it's a, you know, a 7 o'clock kick or something.
Right. I mean, it's really going to be bizarre. So I guess that and also I know this, we have a gentleman who listens to our show named Eric Smith. The date of the game, November 16th, was also, that was the overtime game in 96 and the Green to Johnson in 02 was November the 16th.
Yeah, I think a lot of the, you know, all those big moments that you can come up with stuff more than any other rival on Georgia's schedule, I think a lot of that has to do with because that game is, it feels more do or die than any other game because it's the end of the year and there's less room to work your way out of trouble then.
And really, when you think back, and I know there's here or there, but at least one team, I think 2015 is about the exception, at least one team's got a lot on the line, and usually both did.
Yeah, and Georgia definitely did. And yeah, I mean, Auburn, oddly enough, if they had won and then beat Alabama, even with two losses, maybe, I don't know, but.
Ain't going to happen now.
No, they had a chance to, you know, they could have gone to the Orange Bowl or something like that, but
sure.
Now they're in line to maybe end up in that Music City Bowl again.
By the way, A&M could play themselves if they win these next two.
Whew.
They could be in New Orleans.
A lot on the line for Georgia this weekend,
especially.
Especially for a Georgia team that I've already predicted is going to win the SEC championship game.
Stop.
Now, if they lose to Texas A&M, you know what happens?
Stop.
Justin Fields wins the Heisman.
Oh, man. Stop.
Hey,
killing me.
All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, Jake Camarda gets a game ball.
Yeah.
Trayvon Walker gets a game ball. Who on offense gets game balls?
I think the line did a great job protecting Fromm. Three touchdowns and no picks.
Right. So Fromm gets one?
You betcha.
All right.
Swift goes for over 100.
He gets one?
Yep.
All right.
And Dominic Blaylock has scored against Florida and Auburn.
Yes, he has.
That's good.
And the one against Auburn was an explosive one.
Explosive play. But you could certainly tell, too, and when Cager had to leave, I mean, he is – you know, Fromm's obviously the most valuable guy, but Cager, you know, you could say Cager, Thomas, Swift, he's in the conversation.
He's next. Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when David Andrews was here and you had Gurley, but when Andrews left that game against Florida and our offense was just
– we couldn't move the
ball. Yeah, we just couldn't do anything.
Well, and the thing, too, with Cager is, you know, he has to be covered – And you've got to, at the very least, have a safety over the top there. So it might not be a true double team, but you've at least got one and a half guys on him. You're going to have, let's assume, a corner's covered him. And if you've got two players split out to the same side, you're going to have that safety with an eye on him too. So he's – even if you're not throwing to him, that's giving other guys a chance to be open. I thought too, you know, we threw one deep for him, and I swear, you know, kind of talking about the weather there, I think he'd have had a chance, but could you tell, like, how bad the sun was looking back that one
way?
Well,
in, like, the first quarter, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I think that was one – he was looking right back into the sun. I really think it affected him on that play.
Yeah, because even like Auburn threw one deep early on into that same. It was weird because the receivers never seemed to indicate that they were bothered by it. But I did think like that has to, because it's weird how you have that sun shade, that it had to have been the ball coming out of the shade, and then you're looking right up into the sun. Plus they had that big video board,
where apparently they played a Larry Munson clip of an Auburn running back running over Kirby Smart.
So Munson was making the call where it said he just ran over Kirby Smart.
Apparently so.
Wow.
Had multiple people. I get it. Like, I remember when we were up at Tennessee one year, they did a replay of when Jeff Hall kicked the winning field goal to beat us in 1995. He was the celebrity coin toss. Like, okay, I get it. You know, that was a big – but, I mean, I'm like, golly, to play a Munson call – of your head coach.
Who owns those things? Isn't that some kind of like copyright infringement?
Know. Holy cow. That was something.
Yeah. I'll admit that I think that's actually a bold move by Auburn.
It's a bold – it's good trolling.
I like that.
But, man.
It is. That's a good troll job. But I just wonder if, like, there could have been some cease and desist sent to – who owns those Munson cuts?
And I'll have to ask Kirby after the season. But
if he heard it?
That's even one thing, though. I mean, obviously how focused he is. But if you hear that, you've got to be like – I mean, everybody recognizes Larry Munson. He's a lifelong Georgia fan. Yeah. He's like, wait, what?
Hey, who keeps calling my name? All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. Let's award this week's – Look Away, I'm Hideous performance of the week. What team gets this?
Look away.
I'm hideous.
Michigan State.
Oh, I was thinking
44-10.
I was thinking more Georgia Tech, 45-0.
I don't want to get cocky, but
oh, all right.
They were in the running. They had a bad day.
You know who had an embarrassing day too? That lost at home as a 9-point favorite badly was Duke. Just got thrashed by Syracuse.
That's a bad beat.
That was a bad beat. Oddly enough, like, these two Look Away, I'm Hideous performances of the week come from the same division of the same conference, the one that Clemson is in. But yeah, Duke, that was a bad loss.
Worst game of the day, though, had to be Northwestern and UMass.
Oh, for sure. And then so Northwestern wins by 39. They were a 40-point favorite.
You got to be kidding me.
I wish I was, but I'm not.
How do they, even for those games?
Yeah, I don't know.
It blows me away.
Well, then you're thinking like, well, this Northwestern averages 10 points a game, and now they're expected to cover 40? Of course they can't. And you know what? They didn't.
Ugh.
Did you see the play at the end of the Niners-Cardinals game yesterday, though?
Oh, just when they got the tackle on the last play?
No. Depending on throughout the week, the Niners were anywhere from an 11. I think it closed at 9.5.
Okay.
I think Arizona was up like 20-0 at one point. Anyway, San Francisco scores with 11 seconds left to take a 30-26 lead. Well, of course Arizona does. They throw a pass to Fitzgerald. He then throws the ball all the way back across the field.
Wow.
A bunch of linemen get on it. One of the Cardinals linemen throws the ball backward like 20 yards. Niners scoops it up and races into the end zone. You know, they don't kick the extra point anymore. So the final was 36-26. But, like, they didn't review the play because it looked like
a forward maybe.
Well, no, but it looked like when there was the scrum on the pile. Like
somebody's down.
Exactly.
Yes.
But they didn't review it. And then even just the fact that the Cardinals lineman just grabbed the ball and threw it backward 20 yards was – maybe he thought Murray was back there and would scoop it up and start running. I don't know, but – I guess, but bottom line is, like, they don't. I thought all scoring plays were reviewed, but not that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little. I was distracted yesterday afternoon. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We won't get into that.
No, because that too was a candidate.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. Tua Tagovailoa was injured on Saturday. Jeff, whose fault is it? Is it are we blaming Nick Saban? Is it just the football's a violent game and it happens even when you're up 35-7 against Mississippi State? And are Bama's playoff hopes now completely done?
I don't think they're completely done. And I get it, injuries happen, but with the injury history that Tua has had, including this season, you're throwing there up 35-7 with him.
I just thought, too,
you're just putting him in harm's way.
Yeah, and the explanation, too, of you wanted to practice the two-minute drill.
We all know what – we don't need to get into it. We know what this guy has done
his
career.
The guy's projected to be, like, the first or second pick at the draft, and you're going to put him in to practice – or leave him in to practice the two-minute drill against Mississippi State?
Well, when we talked on Friday, I was under the impression that he wasn't going to play these next 2 weeks. He was just going to play against Auburn.
I thought the same. And now, I mean, to be fair to Saban, until the injury, he didn't look like he was hurt. He had thrown for like 300 yards already, threw for 400 yards the week before against LSU.
Sure.
So if he wasn't 100%, it's not like he was showing it. But, yeah, the sense was that
– I'm so sorry the kid got hurt. It's terrible. But it is a little bit of a that's what you get when you're doing that.
There's on Saban's end.
100%.
But it's brutal for the kid.
It's awful for the kid. But this guy, I mean, you know, we saw last year he had the surgery after the SEC championship game. And then he's been hobbled this year. As you said, he's playing great. The guy's having a phenomenal year. But, again, you're up 35-7. And
you're still going to pass because you want the guy who is projected to be maybe the number one pick in the NFL draft to practice the two-minute drill.
Yeah, it's you're just – when you throw it a ton, you're putting your quarterback in harm's way. And that's just – unfortunately, that's just one of the side effects. I hate it for the kid. And it was almost, too, like Saban, you could see it. It's, you know, kind of whether you're in some legal trouble or whether you're in – trouble with your parents or your teacher, he went into self-defense mode.
Well, you know, the description of it being a freak injury. Yes. And what else bugged me, too, and not is that he – when he said, like, he hates that the guy got injured. Like, the guy,
he's your guy.
Yeah, you mean Tua?
I mean
– your quarterback? You hate that the guy got injured. Just hang it up, Saban.
I wish he would.
I mean, you got rolled by Clemson. You've played one good team this year, and they were up 20 on you at halftime. And now you're running the two-minute drill with the number one pick in the draft so he can practice.
You're up 35-7.
Up 35-7 at Mississippi State. It might be time for you to go away.
Well, it's one of those, anything can happen. It's like, you know what? Here's what can't happen. Mississippi State ain't coming back from a 28-point deficit to beat Alabama.
No, and also Tua does not need to practice the two-minute drill.
No, he does not. Even though the clock was off, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
No, to me, you're just, especially with a guy who these last, I guess really since the SEC title game, who's been fighting those injuries, you're throwing it all the time now, which, that's fine. Even he said it. It's seductive. But there's the downside to that.
Well, it's fine to throw it, but at the point you're up 35-7 going into the locker room, maybe then is not the time.
Or if you're going to throw it with your backup, that's fine. That's who needs the experience of the two-minute drill.
Yes, and he was there warming up.
I would say, too, is that he went into straight self-defense mode.
And then it was a terrible explanation when he said that going into the locker room.
But, again, the more you're throwing, the more you're putting your quarterback in harm's way.
Yeah. I think he did even get a shot in his O-line. Like, well, we didn't block him. Like, no, you didn't.
No. I hate it for Tua, though. I really do.
Finally, Jeff, we're going to hit the 5-5 Wayback Machine. We're going to go all the way back to November 11th, 2019 for this question. Yes, that was last Monday. That was last Monday, Jeff. The Falcons. What was that?
They are rolling now.
They haven't given up a touchdown since the bye week when Dan Quinn fired himself, moved his running backs coach back to defensive backs coach, and has had two other guys now calling the plays.
My number one Falcons fan ever, I was working yesterday. He was just texting me during the game. I have no idea what is going on. I have no clue. Who is this team?
No, but it's one of those where you don't know, are you happy about it, or does it just make you more angry about the fact they were 1-7?
It's, you know what, that kind of thinking, obviously we were not 1-7, but that Kentucky game, that's why I'm glad it was raining that night and it was hard for us. Because if we'd have gone out there and if it would have been like 38-3, that would have been maddening. If we win these next two games, the rain from that those conditions having to really work for it, best thing that happened to this team.
Well, listen, J.R. Reed was still talking about fans booing at the Kentucky game after the win at Auburn. So that moment is something that apparently has stuck with the team, it's turned into they've turned it into a positive.
It's a chip.
But that doesn't happen if we're up we're blowing them out at halftime. But
if you're the Falcons and you were losing – now, the last time in our pool that we do with my buddies, the last time Dodo me picked them was when they were 1-2 playing the Titans. Because, it didn't take me long to figure out what we always say, but when a team has to win, guess what they don't have to do?
Yeah.
Win. But my take was I thought Atlanta had the talent to be a playoff team. I picked him in our 7-in, 5-out.
Hey, there's still hope.
They're still alive. But – I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, I had these guys making the playoffs. So I got to back them. They're 1-2. Tennessee's not very good. They got them at home. This is one you got to figure they were losing 17-0 at halftime.
Yes.
And that was the point where I wrote them off at that point as being no good. And I was correct, but now they've gone out there and won on the road convincingly. The Saints, who've been a top-five team in the NFL all year, And at Carolina, which is having an excellent year.
They haven't given up a touchdown. They've had now 10 or 11 sacks through two games.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Is it really just as simple as Dan Quinn? He gave up the play calling duties, and now you've got this Jeff Albrecht. Thank you for helping us get Roquan.
Amen to that.
He calls the defense, and until it's like the two-minute defense is called by Raheem Morris. But basically, so they're splitting up their play calling duties.
It's insane what they've done
wild.
These last 2 weeks.
We got to ride that hot hand next week against whoever they play.
So if they go 9-7, could they get the second wild card?
Maybe. They're not going to catch the Saints.
No.
But can they beat the Saints again on Thanksgiving night? I was hoping I could just watch the Egg Bowl that night, but now I might have to watch the Falcons and Saints, too.
Pay attention, I know.
All right, to the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.